mention a few more of these clips that are available on our website. Some old clips. They're very cool, and including one that actually I'd forgotten about. And this is one. Led Zeppelin roadie Little Ian Anderson talks about the night John Bonham died. Ian explains that he and Jimmy Page thought Bonzo was faking his death, so they set him on fire just to make sure. And then another clip here where Interstate bakery workers, well, actually, no, that was the Jeff Dowder bit that I already mentioned. what was the other one I was reading here? This is a bit from, well, I told you about a radiothon. I guess that's it. Okay. Anyway, they're all there on the website. And as we progress here through the summer, I might just, well, I don't know, I just might, you know, play a few of those. I was talking about downstairs about my father because we were talking about ideas that are before their time. My old man was a guy that was just completely before his time. Just the guy himself was way before his time. And I don't know if any of you ever had a dad like this. Or anybody in your family who was always, like, inventing something. That was my dad. Only occasionally he'd have this idea, and then 10 years after he died, I thought, wait a minute, my old man thought of that. Like, one time I went down to his house, and he had bought a bus, like one of the short buses that you take the special kids on. He bought one of these, and he was inside with his wife, my stepmom, and he was, he's ripping the seats out, and he's hosing it off, and I said, what are you doing, Dad? Hey, this is going to be fantastic. I'm going to make an executive coach, okay? Now, at the time, I'd never heard of such a thing, an executive coach. This would be a luxury coach for executives to take them to and from hotels and the airport, and they would have first-class seats in it, and all of that. And I'm like, yeah, right. It was like, I felt, in retrospect, like one of those guys that walked by Noah when he was building the ark. You know how we always heard when we were kids that they gave him crap there in the town? Noah's building the ark. What are you doing? I'm building an ark because God told me. Oh, okay. And you're going to get two of all the animals, right? What about two ants? Are you going to get those two? That's impossible. Then one time he says to me, I got a new business and your sister's helping me with it. What's that, Dad? Well, we're taking mail. And she's flying it up to San Francisco. So we're getting it there the same day. Now, I'm telling you, this was like 5 years before Federal Express. I said, that's wild. Yeah, there's a lady, and she's a jeweler, and she needs to get stuff to San Francisco real fast. So we take it up there for her. And the whole thing went belly up, though, one day when I said to him, now, Dad, because he wanted me to invest in this company, I said, is the stuff insured? He goes, Well, I hadn't thought about, in other words, it's one of these obvious things. Okay, and then I get this letter from him. I have advised your sister that we're putting on hold the entire operation until we look into this insurance thing. Yeah, you're taking this lady's jewelry. It was wild. But I got to thinking about family because I was thinking about my stepkids, and I have never told you guys about them. And I wanted to just mention them one at a time because they're really, it's been my great pleasure to know them. And I'm not kidding you, and I'm not trying to be maudlin. You really should know about these people. I know you probably know kids like these. And I hope there's lots of them. Something tells me there are, because I met a lot of their friends the same way. But my eldest is a guy named Nick. He's going to SC. He's 19. The dude is not only is he smart, but the guy is genuinely good-looking. You know, he's one of these guys that doesn't know that he's good-looking. You ever met these guys? A lot of them were friends of ours. Like, I had a lot of friends who were really handsome, but they were very shy. And so you'd be with them, and all these girls are just like, oh, what's going on, man? Get out of here, you know? But he's gradually kind of gotten used to the fact that women are going to be hanging around him his whole life. But he's smart as hell. He's got guts. This is a guy that I told him one time, you got more guts than I did when I was your age, man. He was on the football team in high school. And then the same year, he's in a ballet. Now, I don't know too many football players that say, I'm going to take a crack at that ballet and Godspell. So there he is, starting center on the offensive line. And in about 3 months, I'm looking at him. He's on stage just doing a ballet because he figured, what the hell? I mean, it was a real butch. He did it real, muscularly butch. So no one would ever get the idea that there was even a hint of hip sway or any kind of like he's really enjoying it, any rhythm, Guy doing a ballet. Woo! Hey, wait, whoa, you look like you dug that, man. No. I saw a little bit of a kind of a, there was a little muscular flexibility there. Amazing guy. And, well, the world is going to be his oyster. Then we got Alex, and he is going into UC Davis, and he's going to be 18. And this guy is a bona fide genius. He was the guy in the family who, at the age of 9, we'd go to him and say, I can't figure out how to turn a computer on.
All right, let me figure it out for you.
Little 9-year-old guy. When he was like 9 and 10, he was already buying and selling crap on eBay. By 11, he's on the phone with I don't know how many different internet carriers to try to get us high-speed internet. By the time he was 11 and a half, he's negotiating contracts with General Electric. You know, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but truly a dude that was way ahead of his time. And I think I got along with Alex well because he's got the same sense of humor as me. Real sarcastic, very cynical. You know, a real dry. I bonded with him one night when we were at this banquet, this sports banquet. It was a high school sports banquet, and it was one of these things where we went along with his mother, and, you know, and we were both bored. And so he and I spent the whole night just riffing on things, just looking at, you know, hey, look at that guy, man. Looks like he shaves his head with a floor waxer. Yeah,
there's another guy over there.
The next guy in line is Chris. He's 15. The guy is 15. He's about 6'4". Now, I remember carrying him to bed. That's how small he was. Now, he's huge. And he's a piano player. And the way he got into playing piano, we had a piano downstairs, and I used to hear him every day just sitting there going, ding, 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 hitting the keys. And so I thought, this guy needs lessons. I think piano may be for him. Well, my God, within the first year, the guy is like, we had to fire the teacher because he was like way past her. He now is totally hooked into the Final Fantasy music. Went up, he's seen Nobu Uematsu like 3 times. He's writing his own music. He took a composition class at UCLA composing video game music. Now, he took this when he was like a freshman in high school. I said, so what's this class like, man? There's a bunch of guys in there like way older than me and stuff. He's sitting there, it's 14, there's all these dudes in there that are 30, learning how to compose music for video games. And he's a prodigy, I'm not kidding you. I mean, I know a lot of people say that about their kids, but he can play, man, he can play so well, and he's funny as hell. And not only that, he's gone from being a really crappy student to all of a sudden the dude is like pulling serious, serious high GPA. So, way to do it, man. And then last but not least is Catherine. And she is going to be some kind of a chick. She's 13. She figures that she wants to be an actress or a model or a dancer, which is, you know, like what a chick thinks she wants to be. But in point of fact, she could probably be another Katharine Graham. She's got a business mind on her. I mean, for instance,
do you want to buy some magazines this year for the magazine?
Yes, I'll buy some magazine. Well, you bought that one last year. How about getting a little more? You know, let's grease the wheels here a little bit, baby. I mean, and then she's going around, and she's selling on her own. And then when there was a competition at school, it said, if you sell this many, you get this prize. And apparently she got aced out of it on a technicality. She went into the principal's office and harangued the woman for a full afternoon, like banging on, like she's some kind of an agent for a sports jock. Just, now, wait a minute. Finally, you see the principal coming out of there. There's smoke pouring out of the room, cups of coffee on the table. All right, we banged it out. Great. Bang. She comes back, says, I got the prize. So, Catherine, honey, business is your thing. You will be one of the greats, man. I think you could make gold out of anything. And beautiful and funny as hell. And the first time she and I ever hung out together, we went miniature golfing. And I for some reason, because I was a very young stepdad at the time, she was only maybe 6. And we were miniature golfing, and she's competitive, and so am I. But being a little kid, because she couldn't win, and a competitive little kid will do this. She'll just start giggling and laughing and messing it all up, right? Well, so now we're on a hole, and I beat her, and now she can't hit it in. So I said, keep hitting it until you get it in. Keep hitting it. She took a 63 on the hole, you know, just. And then we came home that day singing that song from Blue's Clues, I Just Got a Letter. And for some reason, she thought this was really funny, and so we sang it. And the song goes, I just got a letter, I just got a letter, I just got a letter. I wonder who it is. That's the song. But we changed it to, I just got a letter, I just got a letter, I just got a letter. Hey, wait a minute, I don't have any friends. Well, that just, she was rip snorting funnier than hell. And then it evolved into, I just got a letter, I just got a letter, I just got a letter. Who died? And I mean, you know, it just went nuts from there. These are great kids because I could be a kid with them. So I thank you guys for that. I really do. And when you guys get older and you have your own kids, don't forget to play that game, taking them to school. Oh, my God, the brakes just went out. That was always a fun one, too. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. General Jameson, huh? Ain't that a bitch?
It's a grocery list.
I'm sure the guy is, well, here it is. Ain't that a bitch? Dude's looking at a list of, there it is, tampons, Listerine. What the hell? All right, so the further adventures of General Johnson Jameson and Art Bell will be revealed and unveiled as we continue here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I've got a very nice email here from Scott. He said, I wrote my first negative review of a band or an album on Amazon, and it happened to be Coldplay and their new album. Today I heard your June 7th show where Harvey talked about Coldpack and then got a little off track. Anyway, since the timing of my review and your episode nearly collided, I thought, what the hell, I'll send it. This is his review of the new Coldplay album, which wasn't new. Well, I guess it is new, ain't it? Yeah. If you really enjoy lounging in a pair of Dockers on a Sunday afternoon with your girlfriend that won't put out as much as you wish, but you smile because you're happy, Coldplay is for you. God!
Phil, first of all, this story has been verified, but apparently a man was arrested in New Hampshire. Apparently he had crawled into a tank under a woman's toilet, and that's where they found him. You know. So
a guy was in a tank under a woman's toilet in New Hampshire.
That is correct, yes. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up, and certainly that's aberrant behavior, you know, and I, you know.
Perhaps before we start, we should let people know that you yourself did time at a psychiatric hospital for a variety of crimes against children.
That is correct, yes.
And so we're not trying to make light of mental illness here, and what you did was a very violent thing, and you admit to it, right?
I absolutely do, Phil, yes, yes.
Now, what did you want to tell me? Does this have something to do with Walter Belhaven?
This does have to do with Walter. And one of the things, and to bring your audience up to date, Walter Belhaven is a friend of mine who is currently serving a life term in a forensic hospital. He's been remanded there, you know, from Soledad Prison, where he is now going to be spending the rest of his life clinically insane. Walter is legally and clinically insane. You know, and there is a difference. There is a difference. Legal insanity is a legal definition. Clinical insanity is insanity. You know, and I can tell you Walter's insane. There's no doubt that he's insane. But there was a time in his life, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is Walter was pulled from the tank under a woman's toilet as well by River City Police in Missouri. And this was in 1978.
Walter Belhaven was found in the tank under a woman's toilet.
Yes, and before you immediately leap to the conclusion that Walter's a pervert, which, by the way, Walter is a pervert, but Walter is a violent pervert. In other words, the difference between Walter Belhaven and myself, you know, is that I was more interested in the exotic perversion, whereas Walter was simply... he was the personification, if you will, of carnal insanity. You know, you see what I'm saying, Phil? Phil, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm trying to digest this. Never forget about what his clinical thing is. I just want to know. He was found in a tank under a woman's toilet.
Yes. However, here's what I'm going to say. He had a camera, and it was Walter's idea. He wanted to start a magazine. It was going to be a men's magazine. To sort of straddle the middle ground, if you will, you know, between the extremes of Playboy on the one side and Hustler on the other. He wanted it to be a men's magazine. He wanted it to have the same kind of editorial comment, if you will, that Playboy did, as well as some of the more humorous aspects of Hustler. And he also wanted to include some editorial pieces and some pieces on different high-tech and also and photographs.
Wait, hold on for a minute, because you got to back way up here, man. Playboy magazine has got stories about cologne and clothes and cars. and photographs of beautiful women. Hustler has got photographs of probably hot women, more than beautiful, and it appeals to... But you're saying this guy, was he going to do a pictorial? Well, what was he doing under a woman's toilet?
I'm sorry?
What was he doing with a camera sitting in a septic tank under a woman's toilet?
He was getting photographs of the initial issue. And
so his issue was going to have articles about what? BMWs and stereos and CDs?
Yes, exactly.
And a full pictorial staring up through a toilet?
I don't understand your question. He wanted to have sexual content.
No, but I mean, there's some kind of a very strange, and I can't put this together in my mind, of opening up his magazine, and I'm reading about the latest in MP3 iPods and all of this groovy-ass stuff and the latest hot car, and then turn to page 15 for Miss October, and you're looking at someone's ass through an outhouse hole?
Well, I'm sure you would agree that sexual taste does vary, but every man is consistent with the things that he likes, you know. And I think Walter had a very good hand on the pulse of what men liked. This was going to be, I think, a very good...
No, wait, hold on, man. Walter had a hand on the pulse of what men like. Sitting in a toilet... And by the way, sitting in a septic tank, you gotta be mental.
Well, yes, but he did... He. This was the crazy part about it. Walter had gone out and gotten some plastic, you know, some saran wrap and plastic bags, and had wrapped himself in it. Although he did tell me later, I don't know why I did that, because I found it rather enjoyable down there. He said, ha, 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 isn't he sick? He is the sickest.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, and that's when the police arrested him.
Well, of course they're going to arrest him. And I don't understand this magazine. You know, did he get pictures?
Oh, yes, he got some very good pictures. I saw them. But the police have them, and I think they released them. They're eventually back into Walter's custody, or Walter's wife was able to get them. They're very, very tastefully done.
Very tastefully done. I just want to get this image. The guy's sitting in a septic tank with a camera pointing up to the hole in a woman's toilet, and these are tastefully done, high-glossy... This is going to be a...
Oh, very, very expensive done magazine, yes. It was going to cost every bit as much to produce as Playboy or Fortune, or Reader's Digest, one of those.
Reader's Digest?
Yes.
Glossy?
Oh, yes.
Multicolored?
Yes.
Taking shots up through an outhouse hole?
Yes.
And then articles on iPods and BMWs?
Yes. You've got it. What do you think?
Yeah, okay. That's great.
Well, I'm Phil.
See, it's one of the reasons why you and Walter spent the time that you did in the place that you did, that you don't understand what I'm talking about, do you?
I fail to understand what... It sounds like you're finding exception.
I don't get it, man. You can look at Penthouse and Playboy and see gorgeous women and get all the articles you want about freaking gadgets and toys and all that crap. Okay? You produce a magazine like what Walter was proposing. What other pictures is he going to have in there?
Oh, he was going to have a lot of different kinds of sexual photographs, erotic art. In other words, just the same as Playboy, although, yes, a bit more, I would say, more to the point, more to what men like. A lot of toilet shots, lots and lots and lots of photographs, you know, women with one leg.
Yeah, okay, man. Well...
Are you blowing me off?
Yeah, get out of here, you freak. So, yeah, this month I'm going to go down there and get that nice high-glossy magazine with the plastic bag around it, rip it open... And miss February, and all you see is what you can catch through the bottom of a toilet. While the photographer is standing in the septic tank. Oh, man! Woo! 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. When a man stands waist-deep in human waste in a septic tank so he can take pictures up through the hole in the toilet above him... of women sitting on the toilet, it is an intrusion. There's no doubt about it, and I understand every woman out there finding it as revolting as possible. And as men, we also recognize that it's aberrant. However, as men, we also... Well, we sort of get it. Yeah, we sort of get it. You know, this is what's wrong with us. This is what's... I'm telling you... There is no better advice. If you're a young woman listening to me right now, you know, like your teenage years or something, you'll never get any better insight into a man than this. We hate ourselves. We do. We have an inordinate amount of self-hate. You're never going to get your mom or your sister or an older friend to tell you this because they're going to tell you this.
Oh, men, they're so arrogant.
They don't get it. It's all motivated by an utter, very tragic self-hatred. And we overcome it, and we work through it, but we never are quite free of it. Okay? And one of the reasons why we hate ourselves is not so much because, you know, we've had to prove we're men ever since we were little kids, because that was the message, and a lot of us just don't feel like we have, and, you know, we're neurotic about it, and this and that. Another reason why we hate ourselves is we'll read a story about a Gary Moody. Gary is 45, and he was under a log cabin outhouse at the Kankamakis Highway campsite, standing in the septic tank taking pictures when women came in and, you know, laid down the newspaper and went to work. And the reason why we hate ourselves is because, yes, it's disgusting. Yes, it's horrible. And yet, deep down in our hearts, we don't want to do that, but we kind of get where Gary's coming from. You know, we just do. I'm not telling you that I would ever want to do that, but do you see the pathetic... You see that this man, he's like a lifelong mission. He's not even sure what it is that he wants. It's just, aha, I've got the idea. I'll go down into an outhouse septic tank with hip waders. Of course, I will have to take a little bit of the, you know, collateral damage, if you will. And I'll get photographs that way. And then I'll develop them and pit, you know. It's like a never-ending search on the part of some men to be close to women. To be serious, to understand women, to get their approval, to have sex with them, to have them love us, to have them recognize us. It's never gonna end. Generation after generation after generation of man, every freaking age of man, all we're trying to do is understand this thing called woman, like D.H. Lawrence said. You know who he was, Bud?
Yeah, he was in AC/DC.
Right. D.H. Lawrence was in AC/DC. Oh, baby. So, you know, and if for some poor schmucks in this world, the Gary Moody's of the world, well, they've hit bottom. Yep, that's right. They've hit rock bottom. In the never-ending struggle to understand broads, he's crawled into an outhouse. Good God. Where's my taps when I need it? Just play taps for poor Gary. But don't ever mistake this. As much as you love that man that you're living with right now, as much as you love your boyfriend, as much as you admire the men in your life, whether you understand them or not, and most women don't understand men. They'll tell you they do, they don't. Always remember this, that while we all, normal, healthy men, would disapprove of what Gary did, crawling into the outhouse and taking pictures up through the toilet hole, way deep down, we get it. I'm Phil Hendry. This is One Man's Opinion. Now, doesn't that just about guarantee a riot? Doesn't that just, thank you, good move. That's what we need to do, man. Let's get rid of the cigarette smoke. I'm not a fan of prisoners. I'm not a fan of criminals. I think you ought to force them to shave all their head. You think my whole thing with prison? They should all have their head shaved. They should all look the same. They should all have a job to go to every day, and there should be guards with rifles trained on them at all times. One false move, and they'll just get shot dead. Go out into the field, raise your food, all that crap, whatever the hell you do, okay? Go into your shop, do that, do this, do that. Play basketball. You get out of line at all. You're a dead man. No rape, you know, all that. You see all that stuff that, like prison rape? Excuse me? Hi, I'm the new warden. Yeah. I know that I don't want to rain on your parade, but you guys doing it to each other. No, man, there's conjugal visits. There's, you know, well, man, I'm not a queer or anything. No, I'm not calling you queer. I just because you're putting it to another guy against his will. That's called rape, you see, so that's not queer. Yeah, I just wanted to be clear. Yeah, okay, that's fine. You can put your hand down now. No, yeah. I know it's a real stretch here, but I'd rather you guys not rape each other. Is that okay? Can I get a show of hands on that? And you can smoke until you die. Smoke all the cigarettes you want. Now, that's my whole thing, but I got to get back over to Iraq, man, because somebody put underwear on an Iraqi's head. So, you know, I really got to get to the real important prison abuse issues, if you don't mind. Thank you, gentlemen, and play ball. That'd be my thing, you know, if I was like the prisoner. And you guys can smoke cigarettes, you can have conjugal visits, and we'll talk about anything else that you want. Maybe television. I ain't promising. But the first thing I'm going to do is you're all getting your head shaved. No more beards, no more. You're all looking like robots, and you're going to do what is told of you. And if you don't do it, well, guess what? So, but they don't do that, see? What they do instead is this. They spend all this time sweating cigarettes. That's why the anti-cigarette hysteria has reached proportions whereby we as smokers, we're going to have to begin defending ourselves. We're going to have to arm ourselves. I'm sorry, but it's reached that point. The anti-smoking insanity has gotten to the point now where total strangers will walk up to you and insult you and tell you to put it out. And now they're telling prisoners that they can't smoke. Well, that's why don't you just go ahead and take a hand grenade, man, and roll it into a room full of orphan babies? That's about as much. That's what you're going to be doing. I don't know who thought of this one. Oh, Pete Wilson. Well, I might have known that brain surgeon. He got in on it. I'm sure that other jackball, Gray Davis, did, right? Say, why don't you guys pull the pin on a pineapple hand grenade and just chuck it lightly into a room full of prenatal mothers?
I don't get the comparison.
But there's nothing you're going to get that I ever say, so just shut up. I'm trying to make an extreme analogy here. I guess I'm failing. So, way to go, man. And by the way, I'm going to get rid of all the cigarette smoking, but you guys can go right ahead and continue to mess with each other there after lights.